Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're all here today. This is a great day, and oh my goodness, the worship has been awesome as we've been praising God this morning. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the fact that we can come together and we can worship you. Oh God, it is so good to lift your name in praise, to know that your Holy Spirit is amongst us. Lord, this morning as we come to your word, I want to pray that you would open it up. Lord, that my friends would have a greater understanding this morning, Lord, of your word, and Lord, that we would leave here, Lord, not emotionally moved, but spiritually transformed to look more like your son, Jesus. Lord, I would pray that you would forgive me my sins. Jesus, I pray that in your name. Cleanse me. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come fill me up now. And Lord, I pray that you will just preach this message with me this morning, Jesus. I ask this in your name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever done something like this. You go to lean on something, and it gives way. And you either fall down, or you stumble around trying not to fall. And as you do that, you can look pretty silly as you try to get your balance. If there are children nearby, they might laugh out loud at you because they don't know enough to get away like the rest of us do and then laugh out loud. You know, physical humor, in spite of ourselves, can be pretty funny. Unless, of course, it's happening to you. Then it's horribly embarrassing. At least in the moment that it happens, it sure is. And I think at some point, all of us have leaned on something, and that something moves. It gives way. Back in the first year that I was here at BAC, we used to have these purple chairs. I think office chair. And they were in the boardroom. And they were nice chairs. Someone had donated them. And I mean, purple is my favorite color, so I was quite happy with them. Except there was this one chair that whenever you sat in it, as soon as you leaned back, you thought you were heading for the ground. Because it would just, whoa, it'd give way. And I sat in it. You know, it was kind of like Russian roulette. You go into the room, and there's all the chairs. And someone kept moving them around because you never knew which one it was. And I would sit in it and do one of these, you know, your arms fly, your legs fly out in front of you, because you're sure you're going to meet the floor at any moment. Well, because it kind of gives way. And we've all kind of done that, have we not? We lean on something, and it gives way. You know, leaning into things, leaning on things, you know, kind of like this ladder over here. It's leaned up against the beam there, and you might notice that there's a couple of words written on it. Well, there's only one word, but it's written there twice, and it says hope. Hope. I want you to kind of think about this idea that we lean our hope on certain people or things. We lean our hope on certain people or things. And this observation that I'd like to make this morning is that all of us here today have leaned our hope on something. In fact, for some, they don't even think about it. They're unconscious of the fact that they're doing it. Like little kids who put their hope in their mom and their dad. You know, they don't think about it like, I wonder if my mom and dad are trustworthy. They just do. They lean their ladder of hope on their mother and their dad. And there are times that we, as adults, we lean our hope on something or someone who is there. Now, some of you here this morning, you totally know where you have leaned your hope. You know what you've leaned it on because you've thought about it. And we feel confident that at times that what we have leaned our hope on is something that will hold. Something that will hold. So we see the ladder over here. Again, going back to my first year here, or actually the second year that I was here, you know, Dan Hogan came on staff and he started working and wanted to fix this place up some and get things going better. And so he would often come in here and want to adjust the lights. Come into our auditorium, get a ladder out, and lean it up there on that bar, kind of like that. And then he'd come, and he'd ask me if I would help him adjust the lights. I said, sure, Dan, I'll come and help you. Okay, just stop for a minute and look at the bar. And you can look at any of these other bars. Do you think that will hold you up? I mean, if you leaned a ladder on that and you went up, do you think it will hold you? I mean, it's a pretty skinny bar held by even skinnier bars. They're coming from the ceiling down. I mean, you could go up that ladder, and if it was to give way, there's nothing to grab onto. I mean, you're going to be introduced to our chairs at great velocity and get to know them in a whole new way. A way that'd be really uncomfortable. And Dan was asking me, Scott, hey, come in and help me. Could you go up the ladder? And I'm thinking, you're crazy. I am not going up that ladder. But what comes out of my mouth is, oh, Dan, I'd be glad to hold the ladder for you. Because from my perspective, there was a risk. I don't know if that bar is going to hold. I mean, if I climbed up that ladder, as it's leaning on that bar. Now, don't get me wrong here. I have done a lot of work on ladders. I mean, I grew up in a family that were painters. And from in my youth, from 13 to 19, I worked on 24, 32, even 40-foot ladders painting people's homes. I knew what it was to be on a ladder, to lean it against a house or a building. But I tell you, there's very little chance that a house or a building is going to give way. You're not going to go flying through the brick. But that skinny bar. You know, I have climbed that ladder a few times, helping Dan out. Dan has climbed up it many, many, many more times, and I'm almost relieved that Steve came on staff because he asked Steve to help him now. You can go up that ladder, Steve, to get the work done. And that bar, okay, the bars, all of these bars have held so far. But when you think about hope, when you think about your hope, what is it leaning on? What is it leaning on? And is it secure? Now, let me give us kind of a working definition of hope for this morning so we're all on the same page. Hope is the person or persons or thing in which your expectation is centered on or leaning on. Hope is what your expectations are leaning into. So you might be wondering why I talk about this today. Because I think there is a tension that we are all living with. Because there are times that this tension is huge, even overwhelming at times, and it can be right in front of us, or it's kind of back here. Just always back here. We know it's there, this tension, but we just kind of keep moving through life. And the tension is this. How do we maintain hope in a world that is so messed up? How do we preserve hope in a hopelessly broken world? Because we have all leaned our ladder on something or someone, and it may not have held. You might have stood at the altar, looked across at your future spouse, and made a commitment to them. A life together until death do you part. And you meant it. You did. They didn't. And the ladder fell. Or you may have had the promise of this amazing promotion at work. If you did these things, made this happen, got those numbers, and you did. You did all of that and more. And yet you got passed over. In fact, there may have been a promise of long-term employment, but now you see that slipping away as well, and the ladder is starting to come down. Or you may have had incredible athletic ability. You're thinking scholarships. You're even daring to dream about a professional career in sports. And there was all this hope. And then you blew out your knee. You tore a muscle. And the ladder came crashing down hard. Or you may have had your hope in your RSP. Your investments. Oh, life was going to be great and wonderful because you were so well prepared, you thought, as you leaned your ladder, your hope, on those financial provisions. Even though you know what 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And the ladder is falling. Even at this time, the support is giving way. Or maybe you put your hope in your kids. I mean, they're so great. Your hope is in all that they're going to accomplish, and you have leaned your hope on them. And yet they have made some unwise choices, maybe about their friends, and their lives start going sideways, and you're feeling the tension. How do we maintain hope in a world that is so messed up? How do we preserve hope in a hopelessly broken world? The answer is in some ways obvious, and yet so very difficult to do. See, we need to make sure that what we are leaning into is secure, unmovable, trustworthy, something that though the foundations of this world should break, our ladder of hope remains secure. In the last two sermons, I have been attempting to encourage you to get to know the Lord better, to get to know our Heavenly Father, to worship Him and keep your eyes on Him, and to trust Him even when you cannot see His hand in the moment, in the midst of a storm of your life. And there are reasons for this, and one of the huge reasons has to do with hope and where you place it. You know, there is this wonderful, wonderful verse in Psalm 33:22. It's well worth committing to memory. It's this: may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. What we ought to be leaning our ladder of hope up against is the unfailing love of God. Because all else will fail. In fact, there is no way anything else can succeed in supporting our hope, your hope. Now, I know this message is going to appear a little gloomy, and it is. And it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. Because I want to try to explain to you this morning why it is that nothing can support our hope in this world but the unfailing love of God. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Romans 8. And we're going to be kind of parking there for the rest of this sermon. And we're going to start midway through the passage. But I have to let you know this morning that this passage that we're going to be looking at, it is like a banquet of truth. I mean, the table is full to overflowing. There are all kinds of incredible things in Romans 8 to be discovered. And this morning, I am just going to be touching on a few delicacies of truth. Because this passage, this chapter, is full of incredible things. We could spend weeks on it. And I'm not going to be reading it all to you, but I would encourage you, even today, like seriously, this afternoon, go home, read the entire chapter of Romans 8. But today we're talking about hope and where it should rest. Why other people or things will not support our hope over time. So we're picking it up in verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings, and come on, let's face it, life is hard. Jesus told us, in this world you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome the world. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustrations, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So Paul in this passage is referring back to when sin entered the world and all of creation went sideways. And things are not as they should be. You know, often when we think about sin, we think of some of the nasty acts of sin, like lying or cheating or stealing things, committing adultery. But back in Genesis, when sin entered the world, really what it was like is a virus. It was a virus that infected everything in creation, and it still is affecting everything. And there is a line in the passage that is packed with what I hope will be an aha moment for all of us here today. It says that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And these few words is why everything else that we might put our hope in will fail. Because we are in bondage to decay, and it is because of sin. Have you ever noticed that everything just keeps breaking down? Okay, Bonnie and I, we have only ever owned one brand new car. It was a Neon. The first year they came out, we picked one up. We took good care of it. We took it every time for its regular maintenance. But over time, it began to show its age, in spite of the fact that we were taking really good care of it. The engine decayed. It cost us a lot of money. And the longer we had it, the more went wrong with it. Have you noticed? As you get older, you got a few more aches and pains than you might have had the year before. You know, where once things were easy to do, I mean, even like walking up a set of stairs, suddenly it becomes more difficult because we're getting older. Our bodies are in bondage to decay, and it's not a happy thought. You know, some people, come on, let's face it, some people, they try to fight it off, don't they? Little plastic surgery, little lift here, a tuck there, a few shots of Botox. You know, they try to fight off the reality that we're in bondage to decay. Because in this society that we live in, there are many who have placed their hope in how they look. The truth is, we all die. We get old and we die. Our bodies stop working because we are in bondage to decay. I remember years ago, Don Olson, my former boss, when I was his youth pastor and I was young, and I was going like a million miles an hour. I was having the time of my life being the youth pastor, doing retreats and, you know, all kinds of crazy things like lock-ins and all that. And Don and I was sitting in his office one day, and Don said to me, "You know, Scott, as you get older, your energy level is going to go down." I said, "Oh, thanks, Don, for that. I appreciate you telling me that." Can I just be really candid with you? I didn't believe him. I thought maybe your energy level went down, but my energy level, Well, can I just say today, I believe him now. I really do. I believe him. He was so right. You know, and it's funny to see this happen. Even Dan Martin comes back from retreats, and I'm watching this because I know he's getting older, just like the rest of us. He's a little sore. He's a little more tired. Takes him longer to recover. Like, it's happening to him too. Bondage to the K. There it is. See, whatever we place our hope in this world, it won't end well. I mean, I grew up at Baby Glen Church, not too far from here, and there was this older couple in the church, and it was like they were married forever. And I remember, because they had been married so long, as they got closer and closer to being married 70 years, and they were celebrated every time they had an anniversary. They would mention it, and everyone in the whole congregation would go, "Ooh, ah," and we'd all clap for them. I mean, they were still in love. You could see it. They held hands. They sat close to each other. They walked side by side. It was awesome, and it ended horribly because one of them died, and the other was heartbroken that they had lost the love of their life. In fact, I have been with a friend, married for over 50 years at the bedside a mere hour before the passing of his wife. And I watched. I watched my friend who was heartbroken that his wife was dying, the one that he had loved for over 50 years. We are in bondage to decay in this world. Pick something. Something that you might think is so secure to lean your hope on in this world. Something that you can see, something you can touch, and I promise you, it is in bondage to decay. Why? Well, because of sin. Sin entered the world way back in the Garden of Eden, and it continues to run its course, and it touches everything. And the reason that we lean our ladders of hope on something other than God is because we really don't believe this. We think we can do better, that this decay will only happen to the other guy or the other girl. We won't get sick. Our deal won't fall through. My kids will be awesome always. My finances are secure. I'm going to beat the odds. But like 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. I know that this is not all that cheery. And I'm not saying today, let's just go through life in an apathetic way, with a whatever kind of attitude. You know, it's just not worth trying. No, that's not what I'm saying. We need to build great relationships. You need to love your spouse with great passion. You ought to look for a great job. And you should prepare for the future and retirement. If you're athletic, use your gifts. And I tell you, there are going to be some incredible highlights in your life as you go through it. But there's a huge point here. Don't rest your hope on these things because you cannot beat the odds. And we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters. The redemption of our bodies. There are times in our lives where we just hurt inside. We hurt on the inside. And it forces us to look outside of ourselves for something better. Is there a place where relationships are good and stay that way? Is there a place where things don't break down, where people are always treated right? My grandpa Finnemore, before he passed away, oh my goodness, he was so ready to go. He was so ready to go. His earthly body was in great disrepair. And all he was thinking about was the hope of what was next. And he knew it was almost time. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. See, my grandfather had his ladder of hope leaned on the right stuff. And he waited patiently for it. He did not give up hope. He knew his wait was almost over. The youth pastor from his church came to visit him. He was in the hospital at the time. We were out west. And Graham, the youth pastor from the church he attended, went to visit my grandpa. And Graham was about to go on vacation. He says, hey, Vic, when I come back from vacation, I'll come by and see you again. And my grandpa said, no, you won't. No, you won't. He says, what? Of course I'll come back. He says, no. I'm not going to be here. I'm going home. And he said it with a gleam in his eye. I mean, Graham shared the story at his funeral. My grandpa knew he was going home. He couldn't wait to see his Lord and his Savior. Our hope is in the Lord. And my friends, we have a hope that is worth waiting for. And we do not give up hope. You know, everything in this world, because it is in bondage to sin and decay, will eventually let you down. But not our hope that is in the Lord. Do you know what this passage that's up there says here? It says that God understands us. In fact, he knows that this life is hard at times. And we do get disappointed. We get hurt. And he is with us as Christians through those times, helping us in our weakness and interceding for us. And there are times when we have leaned our ladders up against the wrong things. And they come crashing down. And God is there. He's there in our pain when life seems so senseless. He's there. We are so depressed. And all we can do is lie there in our hurt. And we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And God does that for us. It blows me away the lengths he will go to walk with you, to walk with me. Listen to verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Did you hear that? But it keeps going. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Okay, I want you to listen to this. As God becomes the center of our hope, as we focus on him, as we lean our ladders up against the love of our Heavenly Father, we will not be disappointed. Let me say it again. We will not be disappointed. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else. You fill in the blank for your anything else. Fill it in. What is it? Let me help out here. Job loss, market crash, divorce, sickness, really bad choices made by your kids. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you want to be able to have hope in this world that is so messed up? Do you want to have hope in this world that is so very broken by sin and is in bondage to decay? Then you need to lean your ladder up against the unfailing love of God and plant your ladder there. Then you will know what to do. You know, you'll know what we're to do. I mean, when your ladder is there, we are freed. You know what we're free to do? This is pretty cool. We're free to go into the world and love people. Are you familiar with the old phrase, loving without a net? Loving without a net. We go into the world and we have our hope centered and leaned against the unfailing love of God. He gives us the ability to go and love others. You know, this is so reflected in one of our core values in our church. We value God's love in action here at Bramley Alliance Church. One of our core values, God's love in action. And it is displayed in the showing part of the catchphrase of this church. Bramley Alliance together, a family, knowing, growing, and showing. And that is loving people. Loving people even when you do not get loved back. And when that love does not come back on us, we don't lose hope. Because our love was never there to begin with. Our hope was never there to begin with. We are loving because we understand who loves us. You know what else we do? We forgive. When we have leaned our hope against the unfailing love of God, we forgive people when they hurt us. We forgive people even when we know it's not going to come back to us from them. We forgive. And we get the benefit of forgiveness in our lives. Even when we are not forgiven by others, we will still forgive. Why do we do that? How can we do that? Because we've leaned our ladder up against the unfailing love of God. I tell you, when it is there, we understand in ever-increasing ways how much God has forgiven us. It just flows out of us. Our hope is leaning on God. And that hope is secure. You know, we sang this song this morning, and it says, "Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. And when things are great, oh my goodness, our hope is in God." We all got our hands up, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Our hope is in God. And when things are good, it's good. But that song also says, "And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering." Hey, you sang this morning. It was loud. You sang it like you meant it. "Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name." We sang this morning like everyone here has their ladder leaned on the unfailing love of God. But do you? Do you? I mean, when things are hard and difficult, we don't have to lose hope. We don't. Because our hope is not in this world. That's what our hope is leaning on. Our hope is leaning on the unfailing love of God, and it is secure, it is unmovable, and it is trustworthy. Because our hope is resting on God our Father and His unfailing love for you and for me. And that is a powerful, powerful truth. So what is your hope centered on today? Where do your expectations lie? What have you leaned your ladder of hope on? Do you need to loosen the hold you have on your plans, on your dreams, on those things that you consider to be the treasures you hold in this world? Because you begin to realize that that's where your hope has been. Funny thing will happen. As you begin to loosen your grip on those other things, they begin to loosen their grip on you. I mean, I know people right now in this church, you know what the hardest thing for them to do is? Give. Give. Because the finances has a grip on their heart. And they're in bondage to it. And it's going to let them down. Others, you know what they have has a grip on them, and what they have a grip on is that special someone who's not the one that God wants for them, but they're so afraid. If not now, if not here, I'll have nobody. As you begin to loosen your grip on that, and leaning on the unfailing love of God, you'll see, you'll be free from that fear. And you can trust God. He will be with you. He'll guide and direct you. There are so many things that we love to latch onto. And it may be a job, it may be a scholarship, it may be, name something. We need to lean our ladder of hope against the unfailing love of God. All He has for us. Lord, I'm going to trust you first and foremost before all things. And we see the grip these other things have on us. They start to lose that grip as we move our ladder and lean it into the Lord. So my encouragement today is I want you to think about this. You know, we go home on a Sunday morning, and I know, I read the statistics. You know, like 93% will be forgotten in the first 48 hours. Kind of depressing for a pastor to hear that kind of stuff. But can you go home with this question burning in your mind? Where have I leaned my hope? Where have I leaned my hope? God, is it on you or something else? And if you ask him, you ask him to reveal to you where you've leaned it, he will. But I tell you, God pleases himself in answering those kind of prayers. God, is there something other than you? I've leaned it. Yeah, there is. Here it is. No, I can't be God. Come on, I've been through the conversation myself. No, that can't be you. Yeah, it's me. You just asked me the answer. I just did, and now you don't want to take my answer. We need to do this. Because my hope, my desire for all of us, is our ladder is leaned on the unfailing love of God. And that's where we do life from. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we lean our hope into you. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for doing life with us. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for giving and giving and giving us so very much. And Lord, this morning I want to pray for my family. I pray for myself. Would you help each of us to continue to learn that our hope is secure, unmovable, and you are trustworthy with all that we lean into you. God, I pray that our hope would lean into you. Lord, I pray that our lives would reflect your unfailing love where our hope is placed. God, I pray as we go from here today that you will not let us forget that question, that my friends today will go home and wrestle this to the ground. Maybe pick up their Bibles and read through Romans 8, the entire chapter. Father God, I pray you would help each of us to have our ladders of hope secure in your unfailing love. To your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.